I'm Katie.
And I'm Bryce.
And you're listening to...
Welcome back to episode 8 of Food Fight. On this week's show, we attend the second annual Child Nutrition Council of Manitoba's fundraiser. It's a stone soup fundraiser. What's stone soup, you may ask?
Stone soup is traditionally, from a folktale, a combination of ingredients from the whole community put together to make an awesome soup. And this is kind of taking that folktale and turning it into reality. They have a bunch of different chefs from all around the city. I'll just quickly list them off. There's Inferno's, Terrace in the Park, Stella's Cafe, The Current, Frenchway Cafe, Nietzsche Commons, DeSeo Bistro, Rudy's Eat and Drink, Elements, Chocolatier Constance Pop, and the Red River College School of Hospitality and Culinary Arts.
Loyal listeners might remember a few of those names. Constance Pop, we did a show on her chocolate shop in St. Boniface, and we interviewed Talia
from Nietzsche Commons.
She was the one of the minds behind the River Pop-Up restaurant that was on the river at the Forks. So that's if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, you have not been listening to our show as religiously as you should. So go back and listen to some old episodes. So again, the whole idea of this fundraiser is that the Child Nutrition Council of Manitoba, they were trying to support this idea they have of a nutrition environment in schools for kids. So they're trying to focus on the end result, that being that of learning for kids and helping them learn the proper kind of food preparation skills and proper nutrition education, and hopefully that kind of builds a foundation for kids later in life. And you know, there's some kind of startling statistics that Viola, the director of the Nutrition Council, kind of goes into in our interview, which we'll get to right away, about the percentages of kids that even just in Winnipeg that go to school without having eaten breakfast in the mornings. And it's so important. You can't really function. You can't really learn. You can't really be at your best when you don't have, you know, these bare essentials met. So important work that they're doing. This fundraiser was important.
Yeah. So, I mean, what they're raising money for is breakfast and snack programs in schools. So schools that have demonstrated a need, and as she tells us, you know, the need is a lot greater than what they can offer, but they help subsidize these programs so kids can come to school and have breakfast before their class or have a snack in the middle of the day.
Yeah. So I was talking about
Viola told
the work
us a little
that
about
they
this.
Do, and really, what we want to achieve is some, you know, contribute to the success for kids in school and making sure that they are well fed and ready to work in the morning or through the day is what we then support through the nutrition programs, the snack or the breakfast programs. And, we know that kids... if you look at the stats about kids, at least a third of elementary students aren't having any breakfast before they go to school, and about two-thirds of high school students aren't. And besides that, there's a very small percentage of kids who are actually getting the fruits and vegetables that they need through the day. So we are trying to encourage, a healthier kind of consumption. So these programs that we support not only are there for the food, but the impact of these programs is that there's some nutrition education going on. The kids go home and say, I had this, can we have it at home? We see different things coming in lunches as a result of the programs. And it's also about these kids being together and eating. And it's sort of like a family thing, right? They're talking to different kinds of people. Teachers sometimes sit down with them and eat. So they're seeing the kids in a different kind of setting. And there's that whole social piece that actually makes a big difference in the culture of the schools. And so that's what we're told by administrators and teachers. And so Stone Soup then is meant to support our work. And the idea of Stone Soup comes from the folk tale. I mean, I read this story to my kids when they were young. And do you know the story at all?
I'm vaguely familiar with it, but I can't say I remember any details. I feel like I was exposed to it as a kid.
Right. Yeah. I think it's certainly out there, and it seems to be in a lot of different cultures. But it's about either some travelers or some soldiers who arrive in a little village, and they're very hungry. They've been walking a long time, and they ask for some food, and no one gives them any food. The community claims it doesn't really have food to give, and so the travelers take out, they bring out this big stone, and they say, well, okay, we're going to make stone soup, you know, and they start to prepare it and so forth, and then people gather, they're curious, and they say, well, I don't think that would taste very good. You know, I do have a carrot. You know, if you put a carrot in, it would be really good. Next person says, well, I have a potato, and I have an onion. And in the end, the whole community comes together and creates this feast, basically, this wonderful soup that they've all brought, ingredients of which they've all brought, and they all sit down, they eat together, and they enjoy this. So it's, for me, it's symbolic of what actually happens in communities and in these school programs, because they do have to involve the community. They get the grocer on board, they get the bank on board, they get the service club on board, they get the parents on board. You know, everybody's bringing another ingredient for that soup, and then that program happens for the kids. So it just seemed to fit so well.
What areas of the city do you think are there's the most need for programs like that?
You know, there are needs all over the place, and you know, we really believe in a universal program. The breakfast program is there for whoever needs it for whatever reason. There are schools that have a higher population that are in a lower socioeconomic status, and so the inner city, of course, would be those schools, and we do fund programs in all those programs, but there are. You know, there are programs in all the divisions in Winnipeg, and I mean, we're all around Manitoba, but every single division has 6, 7, 8 schools that seek support for doing breakfast programs, and really are in need of, you know, are really in need of that kind of support.
Do you find that there's a greater need than what you guys can offer right now?
Well, the answer to that, the big answer to that is yes. I sort of look at it, you know, there's two ways to go. If we had a windfall or something, you could go horizontally or you could go vertically, because we only fund at about 20, in a real good year, 25% of the cost of the program. So the schools still have to do a lot of work, and that tells you how significant those programs are, because they're funding the rest of the 75%, right? They're finding ways to fund it. So we, you know, it would be nice to be able to offer them more, so go top up, go vertically. But there's also schools that are definitely in need of those programs, but for whatever reason, you know, they haven't started to offer a program. It might be they don't have a champion at their school who really believes in that, somebody who really wants to take it on and drive it forward. They might not have facilities. They might not be able to envision how that could work in their school. You know, it's much more complicated than just getting the money for the food. You got to have somewhere to keep the food, store the food. Prepare the food, wash the dishes, or whatever, right? So there's a lot of things to think about. So definitely, you could go both, expand it to more schools, and also try and give them a little more support so they don't have to do quite as much on their own.
We got a chance to walk around the lobby of the Manitoba Hydro building, which is where the fundraiser was taking place. The 11 different restaurants that were present, we got to talk with the chefs, taste the various soups of the day between us. I think we tasted the majority of the soups. They were all delicious.
They were so good that they started to sell out closer to the end. But one of the soups was a partnership with Manitoba Association of Optometrists and Inferno's Bistro. And they tried to make a soup that had the most eye-healthy ingredients possible. So one of their main ingredients was the orange peppers. Those are really good for your eyes.
Yes. Do you want to go?
We have a healthy eye soup with Inferno. Is it Inferno's Bistro? Just want to make sure I get that right. Inferno's Bistro that has a lot of vegetables that are good for your eyes. A lot of peppers and leafy green things. Actually,
carrots.
Right here, carrots. Zeaxanthin and lutein, vitamin C, vitamin E, and beta carotene.
The tongue twister is what?
Zeaxanthin.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's a component that's found in the back of the eye. It helps the macula, which is the gives you your central vision.
Okay.
So something that we find in a lot of vegetables, really healthy, really good for the eyes. Not going to improve your eyesight, but it's going to keep the eye working well and keeping things healthy.
Great. Yeah. So are you all, you're all optometrists. So this is definitely like probably one of the standout tables then, because I don't think there's too many doctors serving soup or behind soup tables here. So what role did you all, did you have a role in the preparation of the soup? Was this?
We didn't help prepare the soup, but I did talk with the chef about the ingredients. Okay. And gave him a copy of, actually, there's a book on eye foods written by optometrists in Ontario about all the good foods for the eyes. And so he went through the book and we looked at it so basically together and talked about what was going to be the best one. Orange peppers is one of the stars. Like if you took a half of a large pepper, it would give you 50% of your vitamin C intake for the day. That's how good it is. And so he took that, he looked at that on the book and he was like, okay, I'm going to include that in there. Any orange vegetables, green leafy vegetables are all very good to have, nuts as well. And last year we did something a little bit mixing everything, and then this year we thought we'd simplify it a little bit because it's like, it's just too much to throw at everybody to be like, well, this is good and this is good. So we just sort of centered on one, and that's sort of it what it is. And so it's a roasted orange pepper with tomato, and then a cucumber tzatziki dill on top. So
were the three of you involved last year as well, or was there some combination?
Yeah, two of us were, and another one walking around.
Around here somewhere.
In the carrot suit.
Yeah.
There's a carrot suit.
There's a carrot.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, we'll definitely have to get a photo of that. So, again, how is it that you come to be involved in something like this? I mean, where's the connection there?
Well, I mean, good nutrition is really essential for eye health. Right, there's a lot. Good nutrition can help to slow down the deterioration of cataracts, macular degeneration, glaucoma, and good eating habits start young. So the Children's Nutrition Council is something that is important to us because we want to get the kids out there to be interested in good foods. We're trying to sort of show parents too that it doesn't have to be just vegetable. There's ways that you can make vegetables fun, and you can incorporate them into the soups, and you know, sort of sneak it in there, and still give them the healthy nutrients that they need. And as well, just in terms of eye health, we want to make sure that people know that kids should be getting their eyes examined, because a lot of kids don't get their eyes tested regularly, and just like parents don't know how to give them the good nutrients, we also want to make sure that they're aware that we also can tell them whether the eyes are working as well. So it sort of goes hand in hand: good nutrition, good health, good eyes.
So is your involvement as individuals, or do you represent some sort of greater organization? And how does the connection there with you as individuals or that organization form with a place like Inferno specifically?
Well, we're with the Manitoba Association of Optometrists, and it was the Children's Nutrition Council that contacted us first. And then they gave us basically the choice of who we wanted to work with in terms of restaurants. And as a group, we sort of picked Inferno's. We all had been there. We liked the foods that they have there and thought we'd be a good match. And we have been. So we're happy with it.
One of the fun things about this fundraiser is that all the chefs are in competition with each other to win the silver ladle. So when you go around and try the different soups, at the end you fill out a ballot and you pick your favorite soup, put them in a box and draw the winner.
Speaking of friendly competition, it wasn't long before we started hearing some trash talking going on between Scott Bagshaw of DeSeo and Ben Kramer of Elements Restaurant and Diversity Foods.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're serving today? And I hear that there's some friendly competition going on.
Some what?
Some friendly competition.
Are people trash talking already?
Maybe.
Tell those punks down at Diversity Foods to... got a wild mushroom bisque, which this guy is going to order right now.
You have the best soup.
Thank you very much. So we have like black trumpet mushrooms in here, cremini, oyster, shiitake, and then finished with a little like truffle oil. Instead of crackers, we do a wild rice puff, bunch of seeds, bunch of grains, crisp soybeans. And it's actually vegetarian as well, and celiac friendly, because I didn't want to put any flour in this year. A lot of people are celiac sensitive, so I thickened the soup with cauliflower. This is actually, once roasted, it's actually very mild, so it doesn't affect the taste. Yeah, and you can tell those fools down at Diversity to suck it as well.
I will. I'll pass on the message.
This is how Diversity Foods responded to the friendly trash talking.
Who's your rival? Oh, not even close.
Yeah, he was talking smack.
I think he meant mentor.
He may have. That's not quite how he worded it, but I could have misinterpreted his words. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you have on order today?
Yeah, we're doing a version of pho, so we're doing a Manitoba version instead of a Vietnamese one. So we've got local elk, hemp seeds, some bean sprouts, some fresh herbs, broth.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
And you're from?
Elements Restaurant, Diversity Foods, University of Winnipeg.
And now, in no particular order, in rapid succession, the soup of the day.
Yeah, what we have is cremini mushroom soup. So it's broth-based. What we do is we take whatever mushrooms we have in-house. So usually it's buttons. We have porcinis, of course, also cremini mushrooms. Put them in, cook them up, add some onions, garlic, add some stock, and then thicken up with the roux. Garnish. What we have is a truffle crouton. So we take truffle oil, mix it in with the croutons, add a little bit of butter, bake them off real nice, then hit them with a little bit of parm at the end, so it adds a little bit of saltiness to it. And then just green onions, just for a little bit of color.
Today on the menu, we have the African sweet potato and peanut soup. So it's a little bit spicy, but very hearty. Black beans, sweet potato, red pepper, red onion, cilantro, coconut milk. It's completely vegan. It's delicious. We garnish it with some toasted peanuts and fresh cilantro.
You just heard from the two-person team at Stella's Restaurant. That was the African peanut soup. We're about to hear from Talia, which you might remember hearing from when we covered the River Pop-Up restaurant that was put on by Ron Almond. She's from Nietzsche Commons.
This year we were super excited to participate.
Super excited. What kind of soup do you have?
It's a three sister soup. It is made of butternut squash, corn, and green beans. Yeah. It's delicious. Do you want some?
Ginger's good with it.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
We have a crab and corn chowder. It also includes Manitoba pickerel, scallop, and shrimp. Cream base, have some potatoes in there. We're garnishing it with roasted garlic and tarragon oil. I am from Terrace in the Park.
Right, so this is the restaurant located within Assiniboine Park, correct?
Yeah. It's located in the pavilion, and we also have an art museum upstairs, so it's a pretty cool place to go visit and eat. It's in the park. We have a great-looking dining room. It's got an atrium, so you can see the outside park while you dine, and not so nice in the wintertime right now, but it's still pretty.
Were you here last year?
I was. I actually won last year.
Oh, you did? What did you serve last year?
Last year was a smoked oyster and a smoked pike and bacon sort of chowder with truffle oil.
It's 30 liters of soup today. Assuming that was double what we did last year, so we thought we'd be pretty good, but I guess Stralarm's beer and cheddar soup is just that popular. Luckily, we do this soup at the current restaurant on a pretty frequent basis. If you come down for a Friday, Saturday, there's a pretty high chance you'll be able to have it. I highly recommend it. It's a fantastic soup.
So which restaurant are we talking about?
We're talking about the current restaurant at Inn at the Forks.
And can you tell me a little bit about the soup that was so popular today? Just what goes into it.
It's beer and cheddar. How can you go wrong? It's a very simple soup. It's just steamed broccoli, mirepoix, a little bit of chicken stock, some beer. I believe we used a Bulldog beer. We wanted to go in with the half pints on this one. And yeah, just a little seasoning. It's very, very simple, but that's what people like. You know, keep it simple, people eat it. This particular soup was actually made by one of our cooks at The Current, who goes by the name Strong Arm, hence the name Strong Arm Beer and Cheddar.
We have a crab and corn chowder. It also includes Manitoba pickerel, scallop, and shrimp. Cream base, have some potatoes in there. We're garnishing it with roasted garlic and tarragon oil. I am from Terrace in the Park.
Right, so this is the restaurant located within Assiniboine Park, correct?
Yeah. It's located in the pavilion, and we also have an art museum upstairs, so it's a pretty cool place to go visit and eat. It's in the park. We have a great-looking dining room. It's got an atrium, so you can see the outside park while you dine. And not so nice in the wintertime right now, but it's still pretty.
Were you here last year?
I was. I actually won last year.
Oh, you did? What did you serve last year?
Last year was a smoked oyster. And a smoked pike and bacon sort of chowder with truffle oil.
We just heard from the people at Terrace in the Park. They ended up winning for the second year in a row with their, what was it, crab?
Crab and corn chowder.
Yeah, it was delicious. It was so, so delicious. I can't even begin to describe how delicious
it was. Okay, we didn't get a chance to try it because they were sold out.
Yeah,
by the time we got there.
They were sold out. It was popular. It was a popular dish. And then one of the runners-up was the chef, the people from Red River Culinary Arts School. Mm-hmm.
They actually have a restaurant now that you can go to. I think it might only be open on the weekends, but they have the people who are taking the culinary classes there. They work in the restaurant, so there's probably some new inventions to check out.
Right, so the coveted silver ladle ended up going to Terrace in the Park. There was some upsets. There was some trash talking going on between the people at Diversity Foods and...
DeSeo Bistro.
Bistro. Those guys seemed to be having some fun with each other. But yeah, everyone seemed to be having a great time. And it was all for the kids, and the Manitoba Child Nutrition Council put it on, and hopefully it was a hit for them, and they raised some money for their breakfast programs that they're kind of aiming for, and some of the other sort of education-based programs that they're trying to institute.
Yeah, those breakfast programs are really important for the schools in Winnipeg, and they try to fund as much as they can, but I think she said they can only fund about 25% for each school that they have programs in, and then the schools have to do a ton of fundraising themselves. They put a lot of work into it, and, you know, even so, like, a lot of these kids that are using the programs, the breakfast program and the snack program might be the only meals that they have in a day. So it's really important if you can support the Child Nutrition Council any way that you can. They definitely appreciate the support.
It's kind of a bizarre thought, the whole premise of that fundraiser, to think, for a lot of us, people that might be listening, that is something that is an issue in a place like Winnipeg. We often like to, and maybe I'm speaking more on behalf of myself and my own biases, but we often like to think that we are kind of past that sort of stage in sort of modern times, and in a place like Winnipeg, that we don't have to actually like worry about stuff like that. But I mean, as Viola was saying, it's something like a third of elementary school students go to school every day in this city. Mm-hmm. Without breakfast, and it's closer to two-thirds with middle school or high schoolers. So this is still an issue, and yeah, we can't act like we are ahead of the curve in any way. We are. We've made progress, obviously, but there's still a lot of work to be done. We can't rest on our laurels, and that's why something like the Stone Soup fundraiser is important, and why hopefully will be going on for years to come, and hopefully it gains some traction and popularity, and there's more and more people and more restaurants getting involved. And I mean, this year, some of the returnees, some of the restaurants, they anticipating potentially selling out of their soup because they sold out last year, ended up coming with double the amount of soup this year and still selling out. So that's got to be a positive sign for the Manitoba Child Nutrition Council.
Yeah, it's nice to see so many chefs working together. I think this is something that we've noticed on previous episodes too, that there really is a great big community of Winnipeg chefs, and they all, the ones that we've met at least, are working for us, working for somebody else's benefit as much as they can, participating in fundraisers and different programs like these. You know, They're all friends. They're all having a good time, and they all want to make a little bit of a difference.
And to that point about the sort of community, something that we've kind of just been gradually noticing as we do these sort of shows and we interview and profile different restaurants and chefs around the city, is that there's this kind of friendly competition, and these sorts of events that bring them all together in one room have got to be great at strengthening those ties and strengthening sort of, you know, just relationships between individuals in that scene. It's kind of a, you know, maybe not the aim of such a fundraiser, but an indirect byproduct of that maybe is that these people are mingling and networking and building a stronger sort of relationship between these sort of chefs in the city.
Be sure to tune in next time to 101.5 UM FM at 6 p.m. on Friday evenings to listen to our next episode of Food Fight. And you'll also find them on katieskitchen.ca, Food Fight tab. You can listen to all 7 episodes and this one, which is number 8.
super tasty soup, super spicy carrot and coriander,
chili chowder,
crouton, crouton, crunchy friends in a liquid broth. I am gazpacho, oh, I am a summer soup, miso, miso, fighting in the dojo, miso, miso, oriental prince in the land of soup.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Bryce.
And you're listening to...